Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Your station for the best Ravens coverage.
Bringing the team to the fans.
It's news from the nest.
We're grateful for our media. We really are, most of the time.
With Vinny and Haney on 105.7 The Fan.
Sponsored by Window Nation. Right now from Window Nation, buy two windows, get two free, and pay nothing until 2027. Offer ending soon. Schedule your free estimate at 866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan, Woman Crush Wednesday. Nolan McGraw's on the other side of the glass. Ravens back at practice. Coming up later this afternoon, getting ready for the Rams. 7.5-point dogs, 1 o'clock kickoff at M&T Bank Stadium. Last game before the bye, Ravens are 1-4. We know the ugly particulars of the situation. Now the offensive line, we did Vinny's film breakdown of that. Well, the offense in general. And what did you think of the offensive line for people just tuning in?
It was really bad. It was really bad. I the offensive line, if you went down each guy individually, I don't think any one of them played very good at all. They're not playing physical. They're getting beat. And the problem is never do they have all five guys doing it right at the same time. They may have two. They may have one. They may have three. But they're getting knocked in the backfield. They're getting no push. They're getting whipped in the pass game. So, I mean, they're just it's awful right now. And Payton, too, number 84, the fullback. You know, we heard Cordell talk about it, too. I mean, he's on the ground all the time. He is a whiffer. He's like Cowser, Bob.
Wow. Yeah, but at least Cowser runs into one every now and then. Now, John Harbaugh met with the media on Monday's weekly press conference. Question was, given the struggles of the O-line, would he consider making any changes personnel-wise?
Oh, yeah, everything's on the table. I mean, we always consider that. We look at it. I'd say it's a conversation every week. Sometimes it's not really a conversation because, when Kyle's healthy, I know he's going to be our starting safety. Marlon's going to be our starting nickel. But there are guys that are, you know, in that area where they still have to prove themselves, you know, and those guys are under consideration all the time. There are the starters because they have earned that to a point, but you got to keep earning that.
I would say this. They're limited, you know, because you only have three backups. So, all right, what do you do in the offensive line? Because you can't replace all five. Well, you got Noteboom in there, too, for Ronnie right now. So, all right, what am I going to do at guard? I mean, I've said it. And I got no problem saying it. I put Corey Bullock. I don't like Ben Cleveland. I wouldn't play Ben Cleveland. I put Bullock in at right guard, and then I would see how that worked.
And Faalele moves to the bench.
Yes. Yes.
And he was drafted as a tackle.
Oh, he can't play tackle. He's not quick enough. Yeah. He's not athletic enough. No, he just looks slower on a something. But, I mean, he's it is not, you know, like Cordell said, he keeps adding to that video. You can put plays.
It's like a blooper reel.
Yeah. And Bob, I showed you the one on the field goal where he just gets knocked over on his back.
Well, the one, what was it, week one against Buffalo, where he's running around like an electric football guy, just running around in a circle while everything's happening away from him. Now, they've struggled on both sides of the ball. We'll get to the defensive film later, but John Harbaugh talks about why things have been kind of a suck fest for them.
I mean, we were on the field for 40 plays yesterday, basically, that were executed. That's way low. We've been between 40 and 55 plays.
So that puts a lot of pressure on your defense. So that's complementary football. You got to be able to sustain drives, get first downs, get ahead of the sticks. Same thing on defense. You want to put them in long yards. We've been in long yards, and our opponents have been in manageable. That comes back to first down again, first and second down. It comes back to running the ball, but it also comes back to the complementary plays off the run. So we got to execute better, and we have to stop the run better, although it was better on tape than I thought, and I think we're going to be okay with that. I believe that. And we got to run the ball better, but we've also got to make people pay for stopping the run better.
The biggest thing is, you know, you talk about first downs on offense. If you can't block anybody, you know, and Henry's getting hit in the backfield, you're going to be second and 10. And then what happens on second and 10? Oh, here comes Justice Hill, you know, and then you're trying to throw it. And then you know, you start another drive and likely turns up the field too quick.
But it goes back. We talked about it yesterday, Monday, too. Nolan just brought it up as we head into the top of the hour. That was kind of a shot at the offense.
He keeps shooting the offense.
We're not defenses on the field too much because the offense isn't really.
And I think the defense, we can fix the run game. Yeah.
Well, how about the defense gets off the field and you give the offense
that's
the ball back?
No right. doubt. I mean, no doubt. Bob,
I'm
to be
not
totally
Vince Lombardi,
honest,
but even I know that.
It's a combination of both, really.
Sure.
They both stink right now. The offense can't get first downs and the defense can't get off the field.
Nah.
Yeah. Other than that, everything's good.
They're 1-4, and they've earned every loss for sure. Jair Alexander, we just talked about him, too. Looked like a steal at the time. Then he went like a month without practicing. Then he played in the opener against Buffalo. It was bad. Then we didn't see him for a couple of weeks, and he plays Sunday against Houston. The only thing you remember him for is trying to snatch the ball out of the guy's hands for scoring a touchdown and doing the Ray Lewis squirrel dance. So, Harris, what do you think of Lamar's college teammate there?
I thought he did okay. You know, I mean, I just love the guy. I mean, I love his attitude. He's working super hard. I don't think he's 100% back yet, but we sure needed him out there with all the injuries and stuff like that. And I thought he went out there and really, you know, really fought and really tried to do well. So, you know, as far as, you know, the level of it, you know, I mean, there's a lot more football in Jair for sure. And that's what we got to just try to keep pulling out, you know.
In other words, he was doing everything he could, Bob, to say that he didn't play very good. You know, I mean, everything he's...
He loves him.
Yep. And, yep. That's
E-L-E.
Like, you know, what is it, Bob, when, you know, I won't even make that analogy.
Yeah, pump you know. The brakes.
Yeah. But it doesn't... Everything that Harb's talked about, he kind of went around the question, how did he play? Never answered, you know? Never really answered. So I'm guessing it wasn't what they wanted yet.
We'll get fresh Harbs coming up later on this afternoon as he meets with the media. Ravens back at one winning drive, getting ready for the Rams at 7.5-point dogs when we come back. Let's count some midweek money, shall we? Buy or sell. Talk about the many sports subjects. You got 4 baseball games, playoff games today, elimination eligibility and all of them. We'll talk Terps with Dave LaMonaco. Got NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. And we got Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. They gave up 44 points. What do you think the film's going to sound like?
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
It's not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And you're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of
you
Browns.
You know why
fans.
It's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you buying?
Great cash, homie.
Or selling?
I'm not gonna buy into that crap.
Vinny and Haney, 105.7 The Fan.
8-8-8-1-0-5-7, the fan here on this Woman Crush Wednesday. Looks like the sun's trying to pop through here, which is good. We're in the second week of October. It rained all morning. Going to be in the 60s, but it is fall. And unfortunately for the Ravens, they have fallen to the bottom of the standings in the AFC North. But there's other things going on in the world of sports, which we'll get to. But let's count that midweek money first. Buy or sell.
Well, the Dow's up 194. The S&P's up 39. NASDAQ's up 201. DraftKings, man, that's the only red thing I got on my phone. They're down 11 cents, 32.84. And Under Armour's up a penny, $4.76.
And for the record, I'm wearing Under Armour shoes. Thank you, Coach Patzos.
All right, let's see. We'll take a look here. We're going to start with the Orioles today. Won't be long before the O's have to make decisions on their 14 arbitration-eligible players. Just 2 years ago, they had 17 eligible, tendered contracts to all of them. The number decreased a little bit last year, and they did move on from a few names. Among this year's group, obvious decisions to be made: Gunnar Henderson, Trevor Rogers, Kyle Bradish, just to name a few. But among the tougher choices, you got names like Ryan Mountcastle, Yennier Cano, Albert Suarez. But I want to focus on Dylan Carlson. Carries an estimated salary of $1.5 million for next season, which would be an increase from the $975,000 he signed for last winter. I mean, really, it's hard to believe a guy who was signed to a minor league deal in the first place ended up appearing in 83 games for the O's, but as far as the offense, really not a difference maker at all. Buy or sell, Bob, the Orioles will still tender Carlson a contract.
Bumba Dita, Bumba Didi, happy trails to you. I'm selling that because Mike Elias said that Kerstad's going to be ready. Rockabaco was writing about it this morning. MassinSports.com. They're probably going to add an outfielder as well. So I'm going to go ahead and sell. And I don't know. My expectations were higher. I mean, 2 years ago, this guy was the projected starting center fielder for the Cardinals. Remember 2021 when Jonathan India won Rookie of the Year and Trevor Rogers finished second? He was third in the voting. I expected more. It got less.
Over to the NFL, where the Raiders put all their eggs in the Geno Smith basket this past offseason. A lot of quarterback shuffling around the league, but that was the guy they went with, mainly because of the appeal of a reunion with Pete Carroll, and really combined with what Geno had done the last few years with Seattle, kind of turning his career around. But so far this year has been just terrible. 6 touchdowns, a league-high 9 interceptions. Even Pete Carroll admitted that he thought about making a change at quarterback in the middle of their last game against the Colts, but ultimately opted to keep the entire offense together for more reps. Buy or sell, Vinny, there will be a moment this year where Smith gets replaced mid-game for performance.
I'll buy it. I'll buy it. You know what? And Tom Brady's the one that didn't want Sam Darnold for the Raiders. That's why they went and got Geno. So, yeah, I will think that Geno will... Pete's going to get frustrated when he throws a couple picks and a half.
We're going to see some Kenny Pickett action, huh?
Yep.
Let's see. Back to baseball here. It's win or go home for a few teams tonight, but the Phillies, in particular, really sweating things out after they dropped both home games to the Dodgers. Now they turn to Aaron Nola to start Game 3, not Ranger Suarez. Two very different seasons for those guys. Nola with an ERA over 6. He battled an injury, less than 100 innings pitched on the year. Meanwhile, Suarez, a mainstay for them all year, over 150 innings pitched and an ERA of 3.2. But manager Rob Thompson says he leans towards Nola because of the experience he has in big games. And he did acknowledge that, look, it's win or go home. Suarez will probably be out there at some point, just not to start. Are you buying or selling that logic behind the pitching decisions, Bob?
I'm going to sell it. I'll go with the hotter hand over the course of 6 months as opposed to limited innings pitch. But like you just said, Nolan, it's all hands on deck for them. And then he'll have a tough decision in Game 4, but a decision that they might not have if they get broomed out of here. Yamamoto is on the hill for L.A., 9:08 first pitch.
We're back to the NFL. Last year, Rico Dowdle was a surprise emergence for the Cowboys' run game, and they were desperate for it. But what did they give him for that good, solid season that he turned in? Said goodbye. They let him hit free agency. He's since latched on with the Panthers. Prior to this past Sunday, really not a good start to the year at all. Was averaging just 3 yards per carry, 83 total in 4 games. But against the Dolphins, He went crazy. 206 yards and a touchdown. And guess who's coming up next on the schedule for the Panthers? Well, it's the Cowboys. And it only took one strong performance for Dowdle to start the trash talk, telling his former team to, quote, buckle up. Buy or sell, Vinny, Dowdle will not get the revenge he is seeking this Sunday and revert back to his lackluster stats.
I don't know. The Cowboys are starting to play better. Their defense isn't good, though. But they're at home. Carolina plays good at home. They suck on the road. So I'll say he gets his revenge. Yeah, but they lose.
But isn't it all, if Chuba Hubbard's playing, then he's going to be the second string dude. He was only getting carries because Hubbard didn't play.
Well, I mean, how do you not play
a guy who got 200 yards?
Yeah. He doesn't need 200 for revenge.
No, like,
he doesn't need
20
plus carries. But, you know, involved.
Over 100 yards.
More involved than he was through the first 4 weeks.
Okay.
Anyway, last topic of the day here.
I didn't want to get a sidetrack there. Just pointing out a fact.
No, well, it's easy to sidetrack me, so don't take any credit for that.
Right.
Last topic of the day here comes from college football. Big matchup this weekend, Red River rivalry. Heavy implications for both Texas and Oklahoma. Start with the obvious. Texas desperate for a bounce back after they fell out of the AP top 25. Meanwhile, number 6 Oklahoma trying to get healthy, especially at quarterback. John Mateer, he missed their last game. No big deal because they're playing Kent State, favored by 45 in that one. So, yeah, Michael Hawkins, he did just fine as the backup quarterback. Now, Mateer, he does have a chance to suit up this Saturday, but it's only been a few weeks since that hand surgery.
17 days.
Buy or sell, Bob, Oklahoma should beat Texas even without Mateer in the game.
Oh, man. I'm going to buy it because Texas seems like a discombobulated team that seems to be going off the rails a little bit. Spread's only 1.5 in favor of Texas as they've been, them and Penn State. And we talked about it yesterday. Texas, even more so, in my opinion, most disappointing teams in the country this year. But, yeah, even if Mateer cannot go, the Sooners will go old school and take out the Longhorns. And all of this talk about Arch, the debate whether or not he's coming out, well, that's silence.
Is he going to start the rest of the year?
Silence when we come back. Well, it can't pop off too much college football because Maryland blew a 20-0 lead at home in the third quarter against Washington. We'll talk about that briefly with Dave LaMonaco, but look ahead to the Nebraska Cornhuskers. Big game for both teams. Both teams at 4-1. Nebraska is 6.5-point favorites in this matchup before the Terps head out to UCLA. Then we'll have our Heroes of the Week coming up. Then NFL Lunch. Then Ryan Wilson. His Steelers gained the game by doing nothing, which is always a fun Sunday to have. And then we'll get it ugly again. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. Yeah, it didn't get any better.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Last 3 days. From TerrapinTimes.com, he's on the Window Nation guest hotline. He is Dave LaMonaco. Dave, what is up?
Hey, Bob. How are you, my man?
Doing all right. Now, before we get to the game, the debacle that it turned out to be, and look ahead to old Matt Rule's Cornhuskers here, Maryland did lose a verbal commitment since the loss. Kamari Bing out of St. Francis in Baltimore, who committed back in August. He's a 3-star, rising 4-star. He was one of these Pied Piper guys. He visited Ohio State instead of coming to the game. I guess that was probably a bad sign. But why the decommitment? Didn't commit to Ohio State, but he definitely left the old Maryland thing here.
Yeah, that was something we didn't not expect. I mean, this kid, When I interviewed him back when he committed to Maryland, he was like, yeah, I'm going to take other visits. And that's always, I've been doing this long enough where I can sort of read into what kids are going to do. So when I heard that he was going to Ohio State to visit and knew that he was going up there for an official instead of going to Maryland, I was like, okay, there's a better than 50% chance that he decommits. And he's been talking about it for a while. He was, he kind of made the commitment early to Maryland, but, never was really firmly on board the way that he hasn't said, put it this way, he hasn't said the same things that his teammate Zion Ealy has about, like, not taking visits and things like that. He was very open about that. So Ohio State, he's also probably going to check out Alabama. Indiana, which all of a sudden has a ton of NIL money, is also involved too. So one of those three. Maryland could probably try to get back in it as well, but we'll see. Usually when these kids back out, they usually end up heading elsewhere to one of the blue bloods. So, you know, it is what it is. That's recruiting these days.
All right, Dave, let's go back to Saturday. Terps were up 20-0, looking good, rolling along nicely. Thank you very much. I know Stewart got thrown out of the game in the second quarter for the targeting. And by the way, he will be in full four-quarter action for the Cornhuskers. He'll be ready to go there. But if there was a turning point in the game, because Maryland scored on the first drive because Vinny didn't see the game, and you were lucky that you didn't, the way things unfolded in the fourth quarter. But Maryland marched right down the field. They scored. They seemed to be cruising nicely. Thank you very much. What was the turning point in the game as things really went pear-shaped for Maryland, getting outscored 21-0 in the fourth quarter?
They were up 20-0, and they had to stop there, but they stopped Washington, held them to a field goal after a long drive, and that's sort of a win there. You just scored to go up 20-0, and then Washington goes on this long drive, and you hold them to a field goal, so it's only 20-3 at that point. So you're pretty much in control, trading touchdowns for field goals. You're pretty much you're going to win if that's what you're doing. But then, you know, Washington made some immediately after that. Maryland goes 3-and-out on their next drive when they needed to get a couple first downs just to chew clock. And as soon as they went 3-and-out, and you know, Pep Hamilton with his play calling, and Malik couldn't he might have overthrown the receiver there, Farouk, and they got to punt the ball back, and Washington gets it right away again. And then they go, and that was sort of the turning point right there. You could, even though it was 20-3 and Maryland was very much in control, the fact that Washington got the ball back right after they had that long drive, and then, you know, it sort of spiraled from there. Then they go and score a touchdown pretty quickly. It's 20-10, and by the time it was 20-10, you could feel like the air just, I mean, we've seen this before. Maybe not a 3-touchdown lead, but Maryland fans are like, okay, here we go again. And unfortunately, the players and seemingly the coaches are the same way because, you know, defense started playing conservative, started playing soft zone. Hamilton and the offense weren't calling aggressive plays anymore. They were trying to do these weird dump-off things that weren't working and some counter runs that weren't working. And it just spiraled. And Washington made adjustments. They started to move the ball, and it went from there.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, talking Terps. Now, that's in the rearview mirror. It sucked. It was ugly. Should be 5-0. They probably be ranked. It is what it is. What did Mike Locksley say to the media when he met yesterday about the Cornhuskers coming in at 4-1? Their only loss was to, well, Michigan. Very entertaining game a few weeks back, but trying to flush that one and look ahead to the bigger picture because, you know, there's still a lot of good things this team's capable of doing. They are getting 6.5, by the way, because the odds makers don't seem to be buying them just yet.
Right. Nebraska's a really good team. They're 4-1, and they're sort of humming along. This is not your father's or grandfather's Huskers where, you know, you sit there with 5 350-pound linemen and just run the ball up the middle and things like this. Is a wide open spread attack, and their quarterback Danny Raiola is one of the best quarterbacks in the Big Ten. Sprays the ball. He's a pure pocket passer, not one of these zone read guys. He'll spray the ball all over the field. You know, he can have some happy feet once in a while if he gets hit, which is the key for Maryland. You got to hit him because then he can start to make mistakes. But if he has time in the pocket, he can pick apart a defense. And I think that's what the odds makers are thinking, that, you know, they protected him pretty well. And if they can protect him, Washington exposed some holes in Maryland's defense in the middle of the field that I guess they feel like that Raiola can sort of pick that apart. We'll see what happens. We'll see what kind of adjustments that Maryland makes to counter that. Defensively, Nebraska is pretty tough. Their secondary is one of the best in the country. They've had some problems in run defense, but again, Maryland hasn't been able to run the ball a year. So whether they can exploit those holes remains to be seen. But their pass defense is very, very good. They don't get a ton of interceptions, but they play this zone, and they're able to limit chunk plays and keep receivers to short gains. So it's going to be a tough test. I think it's going to be a one-score game, maybe two. I have Nebraska winning, but it could really go in either direction. You never know. Playing at home, Nebraska's got to go across the country. So I have Nebraska as a slight favorite, but we'll see.
Hey, Dave, what did Locke say after the game, after the collapse at the end?
It's the same stuff. Vinny, you've been around forever. You know the coach speaks stuff. Put it in the rearview mirror, that kind of thing. They just, it basically was saying that, things happened. They didn't coach well enough. They didn't execute well enough. And, they look at what they did wrong. They take 24 hours, and then they put it behind them, move on to the next one. It's the same thing that every coach says. Nothing really earth-shattering there.
What does Malik have to do in this game for them to win?
He's going to, like I said, Nebraska does not give up chunk plays. Their zone coverage, their five-man backfield is designed for that. Maybe you can sneak behind them once in a while, so you're going to have to pepper them in the short to intermediate range. And Malik's got to do a better job of leading his receivers and not throwing behind guys and overthrowing guys. As well as he's played, he does have a problem with overthrowing receivers and missing some of his shorter targets. He's got to be on point getting those 5 and 6 yard passes, because those are drive killers. That's what killed him in the last game. He overthrew Farouk on one, and they got punt. So Nebraska's going to give you those little completions, and because Maryland can't run the ball, it's imperative that he hits them, because that's how you're going to move the chains.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com, idiot Handy 105.7 The Fan. Dave, last thing for you. Let's shift to college basketball recruiting for old Buzz Williams there. Latrell Allman is back in play for the Terps. He's got them in their top five. Of course, Petersburg, Virginia. That's where Moses Malone, if memory serves, is from. What do we think about that Allman getting Maryland back into the mix here?
I'm still somewhat skeptical. They had him out. But so apparently all the money that they were – it all comes down to NIL now and the money, especially in college hoops. So the money that they were going to throw at who was the kid they missed out? Anthony Brown. Junior County, Anthony. Yeah, so apparently the reason that Allman took him out is because their NIL number wasn't high enough. This isn't stuff that you're not going to hear or anybody's going to say, but that's the reason. So Maryland wasn't in there because their NIL number wasn't high enough. Well, they didn't get Junior County, the guy they really wanted. So now apparently they're taking that money, and they presented a pretty sizable offer to Allman. And so last second, he's decided that he's going to officially visit Maryland this weekend. And then he'll probably make his decision. He's scheduled to in the middle of October, so right after that. So we'll see. I still the other schools that are in there have been on him and in the game for a lot longer, so that's why I'm sort of a bit skeptical that they'll be able to get it done. But apparently Maryland has the money to entice him to visit, and we'll see if they can roll out the red carpet and knock his socks off, and maybe they get the last visit. So you never know. Stranger things have happened. That would be a great pull. They kind of need him. He's a really good player. That would be a good addition for him. So but we'll see what happens this weekend. They just had Tristan Reed, a big man, visit this last weekend for the Washington game. He's been sort of quiet. He's making his decision on Friday. Again, I'm not sure that Maryland's sort of the leader there for him, but apparently that visit went well. We haven't heard too much. He's been mum, but we'll see how that one goes on Friday.
Dave LaMonaco, TerrapinTimes.com. Dave, always appreciate the time and the intel. Enjoy the game Saturday. We'll catch up with you soon.
Appreciate it, guys. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Dave.
There's Dave LaMonaco. We'll come back. Talk about our heroes of the week for the National Football League Week 5. They don't necessarily have to be the players of the week that the NFL as a league pick. C.J. Stroud, by the way, got the offensive player of the week. Matt Stafford's going to be NFC next week. But we'll get into all of that. Then we got NFL lunch coming up at 1 o'clock. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com, for preview week 6 of this NFL season with him. Is Jacksonville's 4-1? Is that a real 4-1? And the Colts, Jags in first place in that division. What's going on here? And then Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. It was ugly. It was bad. You watch the game. How bad? You'll find out more detail later in the show. What we do every Wednesday here on Vinny and Haney, Bob Haney, Vinny Serrato, Nolan McGraw, give you the heroes of the week for the National Football League offense, defense, and rookie. And Nolan, without further ado, I'll let you roll with this.
Vinny and Haney's Offensive Hero of the Week.
Well, I can get us started here today because I'm worried about my choice actually being stolen. I'm going to go with Jonathan Taylor.
Oh.
So I hope neither of you had Jonathan Taylor.
I was going with him, but I co-faxed. So
okay.
Good.
All right. Jonathan Taylor here. Another 3-touchdown performance for him. They come in bunches, apparently. It's his second 3-touchdown performance of the season. Actually, his lowest yardage total at only 66 yards. But the reason I pick him is because he is firmly back at the top of the Offensive Player of the Year conversation. Just a few years ago, 2021, he went crazy. Had that awesome year, 1,800 yards, a ton of touchdowns. He's on pace to have more touchdowns this year and needs a little bit more to match that yardage total, but a very resurgent season for him.
Mine is Rico Dowdle, Carolina Panthers. 23 carries, 206 yards, 1 touchdown, 3 receptions, 28 yards. And like you guys talked about, a former Cowboy playing the Cowboys this week.
Now, the league, Dowdle was the NFC Offensive Player of the Week. C.J. Stroud was the AFC. Full disclosure, wearing a Maryland sweatshirt, as is my wont, being a diehard Maryland fan. I want Stephon Diggs.
Oh, nice.
Against the Buffalo Bills, his former team in Buffalo. 10 catches, 146 yards, as he helped his team pull the upset over the previously undefeated Buffalo Ball Club. So Stephon Diggs, former Maryland Terrapin, is my Offensive Player of the Week.
Oh, we can be heroes. Just for one day.
Vinny and Haney's Defensive Hero of the Week.
Well, if I could give it to a whole team, I would give it to the Washington Commanders. Very strong defensive performance to take down the Chargers this past week. But if I'm going to pick one player, I'm going to go with Mikey Sanristil. He had the game-sealing interception there, leading by 10 late in the fourth quarter. Chargers were right there trying to cut into that lead. They were right on the goal line. Herbert throws the pick. But as I said, this was a great defensive performance all around. They sacked Herbert 5 times. As I mentioned, the key interception. Really nice performance.
Mine was Nick Benito from the Denver Broncos, who beat the Eagles. He had 4 tackles, 2.5 sacks, 3 quarterback hits. And he was the, AFC Defensive Player of the Week, too?
Yes, he was. By the way, the NFC was Kool-Aid McKinstry from the New Orleans Saints. My Defensive Player of the Week, Devin Lloyd.
Ooh,
Jacksonville, 99-yard interception return for a touchdown. This is a guy, first-round pick out of Utah. They did not pick up his fifth-year option. He was a guy that they were like, he was away. Very disappointing player. But through the first 5 weeks of the regular season, leads the NFL in picks with 4.
Nice.
And that pick 6 turned that game around.
Yes, it did.
In favor of Jacksonville. So, Devin Lloyd. What's a Ute? You are. Next.
What rookie had a standout week? Here's Vinny Serrato and Bob Haney.
And Nolan.
Yeah, all right. Hey, I'm here too. It's all good. For the rookies, I like to kind of pick someone a little under the radar. And it's easy to do that on defense. But I'm going to go with Seattle's Nick Emenwori. This was a guy that we actually talked about a lot here in Baltimore.
Yeah.
Coming out of the draft, thought he could be Kyle Hamilton 2.0. Well, you haven't heard his name a lot this season. It's because he got hurt in week 1. Well, he was ready to return in week 5, got thrown into the action because someone else in that secondary went down, and he held his own. I mean, 5 tackles in this one. There was nothing flashy like a pick or a sack or anything, but to have that little play time this year, to get thrown into the fire and to step up, good for the kid.
All right. Well, I got Amika Egbuka, who I guess could do it every week from Tampa. 7 catches for 163, 23.3 average, 1 touchdown, 6 first downs on 7 targets.
And with Mike Evans out, they're feeding him.
Yeah. I mean, even they say he's better than we thought.
He is a stud, and hey, not that Tampa cares what I think. Keep rolling with them uniforms, man. They're awesome. My rookie goes down to the Commanders and Jacoby Crosky-Merritt.
Ooh,
out of Arizona.
Yeah.
14 carries, 111 yards, 2 TDs, 2 catches for 39 as the Commanders upset the Chargers out in L.A. 27-10. Heard a lot of Commander fans in the crowd. Let's be honest. Do the Chargers really have a home field advantage?
No. They did. They did in San Diego.
Yeah, but there, and quite frankly, when the Rams play at home, you know, the opposing team, if they travel well, you hear more of their fans.
Well, when they played the Niners Thursday night, Sean McVay said, I hope the Niners don't have more fans than us again.
Kind of sounded like a San Francisco crowd, didn't it, against L.A. But Jacoby Crosby-Merritt, Austin Eckler's done. So they traded Brian Robinson to San Francisco. He has stepped in nicely at the wideout or running back position for the Commanders, who picked up a big win on the road. Those are our heroes of Week 5 National Football League. We'll come back, start looking ahead to Week 6. NFL Lunch coming your way. Ryan Wilson, CBSSports.com. And we must do it. We insist that you listen. Vinny's film breakdown of the Ravens defense. If we had to watch it, we're going to get an idea of why it was so bad. And is there any hope for the future now that Adafe Owe has gone to L.A.?
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.